So, I ordered a latte. And I don't know whether the barista was having a really bad day or whether the coffee shop was going downhill. I was given a flat white, and the milk was too hot. And if I'm going to spend $3.50 on a coffee, well, the least they can do is get it right. But, you know, hashtag first world problems. Then I was getting dressed to come here, and it's common time, which means I like to wear a bit of green. I just don't have a jacket which really goes with my green shoes, so I had to wear the stupid green top instead. I've already worn it 3 or 4 or 5 times, and quite frankly, I'm getting just a teeny tiny bit sick of it. But, you know, hashtag first world problems. And I have to admit that the sermon's a bit all over the place because I don't have a study or an office. So half of it was prepared in a theological library and the other half at my kitchen table. And I had to flip my damn computer all over the place and pack it up and get it out and pack it up and get it out. I can't leave anything out. Thinking and writing under these conditions is very difficult. Then again, I know, hashtag first world problems. Now, this is a place where I'm supposed to remind you just how privileged we all are. As members of the first world, we have shelter and clothing and clean water and medical care and superannuation and books and furniture and many other possessions. And I should remind you that many other people don't have these things. And perhaps I should urge you to think about how you could help other people share in our privilege. And this would be a reasonable thing to do. But I'm not a reasonable person, and we're not reasonable people. We're disciples of Jesus, a most unreasonable man, who views the world in topsy-turvy terms and tries to show us the world through his eyes. And he did it again in the story we just heard. A man who owned many fields and other possessions came up to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit life without limit?" Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving. Maybe he went and sat in his big old house. Maybe he called his accountant and reviewed the rent books. Maybe he went and bought a pretty bauble to cheer himself up. The story doesn't say. Instead, we're told that Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say that the wealthy landowner was privileged. He didn't tell him to be grateful for his privilege and to find ways to help others share in this privilege. Instead, he told him to get rid of it, because only then would he be free to follow Jesus. When Jesus said this, his disciples were perplexed. We all know how privileged the rich are. We are. We all know that we are blessed. How can it be difficult for us to enter the kingdom? Well, maybe, just maybe, the assumption that the rich are blessed is not one of God's assumptions. Maybe, just maybe, the riches can prevent us from entering the kingdom or the culture of God. But when we're rich, and let's be honest, most of us are loaded, we can forget just how interconnected and dependent we all are. Our wealth insulates us from knowing our need of others and our need of God. Our wealth gives us the illusion of control over our lives and over our futures. Wealth makes it impossible for us to learn to trust in God's provision and not ours. And wealth can make us blind to the needs of others, because wealth blunts our compassion. If we don't know hunger, why would we give our sister bread? She can eat cake. If we don't know cold, why would we give our brother our spare jacket? He can pop on an overcoat. If we don't know what it is to be without shelter, Why would we invite someone to sleep in our spare room? For many of us, such needs are beyond the realm of our experience, and so we don't meet them. Our riches insulate us. They can make us feel complacent and comfortable and secure, so that on the rare occasion that we can no longer ignore the needs of others, we refer them to government or welfare or the helping professions. So how then can the rich participate in the culture of God, which demands that we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, and we love one another? Not in some abstract and kindly social policy, but in real and material ways. Who among us can be saved? To disciples asking this question, Jesus offers an answer. Well, for mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. And God's way is the church. For the church provides the arena where the word of God and the people of God enter into conversation. In listening to the word, we're challenged to let go of the things which bind us, the things which give us the illusion of security and control. And in journeying with the people, we learn what it is to love and to be loved. We begin to see just how impoverished we are, how mean, how shriveled up, how hard-hearted, how lonely. Even as we begin to recognise that it's in our poverty and our deepest need that God blesses us. More, as we begin to really love one another, we begin to feel the hunger of a brother or the despair of a sister. And we learn that we too can participate in God's work of healing. We too can enter into the culture of God and love one another in real and material ways. Social isolation, lack of trust, deep spiritual hunger, a sense of meaninglessness, a failure to love and be loved, a failure to forgive and to accept forgiveness. Now maybe these are first world problems. But in Christ we've been given this new identity that dissolves the labels of first and two-thirds world and invites us all to be poor. In his church we don't have to strive to be rich or to pretend that we're not rich, endeavours which consume us and turn us into liars. We don't have to guard and protect the possessions which so often possess us in turn. In the church, we learn to seek our treasure in heaven instead. And in the church, we're shown the new reality, God's reality, a world that is pulsing with life and love, a community of beloved brothers and sisters, a reign where it's not the wealthy, but those who know their need of others, who are truly and deeply blessed.